Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU, and also podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined as always by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Chris!
Walter, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Chris. Yourself?
I'm doing great, thanks. You know what? While you were doing the little intro there, I was hearkening back to the old days when we first started doing the show, and we were always wondering, how do you start the show? How do you get things going?
I'm still wondering how to do it.
Well, you know, and it's funny, because it really hasn't changed too much.
No, it hasn't. Remember that Talking Heads song?
Same as it ever was.
Anyway.
Stop making sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, same as it ever was.
Right.
We're going to lead in the show.
Come on now.
With
new comics.
New comics.
All right.
Today being Wednesday, today, all the comics, the new comics, hit the stands today at your local comic shop.
If you are a fan of comics, if you read new comics, then chances are you're going to be visiting the comic book store today.
Right. Today is your day.
It is.
All right. I'm going to highlight today a couple of ones I want to highlight, obviously. Daredevil, number 504, hits the stands today.
Awesome.
Now, it's there's a creative team. Roberto Clemente. Yeah, they're finishing up their first arc on the line.
And from what I've heard, it's been fantastic so far.
Yeah. Now, what I wanted to talk about with these guys is visited is, boy, do these guys ever have big shoes to fill?
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, they're filling in the roles that what's his name now?
Bendis?
Brian Michael Bendis did. But then, also
Brubaker.
Ed Brubaker. Yes.
Thank you.
Ed Brubaker.
Yes.
He was filling in. But, you know, Andy Diggle did a short stint on a Swamp Thing miniseries for a little while for DC. So he did Thunderbolts as well.
Yeah, you're right.
So you know what? He's certainly cut his teeth in comic book writing. And anybody that can take on the character of Swamp Thing after Alan Moore's great run really has a lot to show for, right?
Right. So, yeah, it's a good point. I mean, obviously he's been in this situation before, in a sense of following the footsteps of some really
big
creators
and are
I guess synonymous with the character.
That's right.
I mean, I know Bendis kind of set the benchmark, and then I thought. Brubaker took it to a next level.
Well, you know what's funny about that is everybody that read the Bendis run thought nobody could possibly top this.
Right.
Right. And then Brubaker came in and did a phenomenal run on Daredevil. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing. Like he took a completely different stance for Daredevil that wasn't being done in the previous comics.
Yes.
And it was great.
Yeah. So listen, best of luck to these boys, and check them out. I mean, don't be one of these guys that say, oh, you know, Brubaker's off the title, I'm not going to buy it anymore.
Yeah. So you know what? For people that say things like that, they got to go back and read the older Daredevil because they got to realize that Daredevil is a great character. In its own right. And you know, Frank Miller did some phenomenal work with it. And then you know, and no, really, one of the writers that barely ever gets mentioned is Ann Nocetti, and she did a run of Daredevil with John Romita Jr. for many years with Typhoid Mary and all these great characters. Ultron was in it for a while. Mephisto was in it for a while. You know, you got to check this stuff out because you know. I realize that there are a lot of Bendis diehards out there, but if you like the Daredevil character, you got to check out some of these other graphic novels.
Excellent. Hey, on the DC side, always news, Batman and Robin, number 7, hits the stands today.
That's awesome.
Grant Morrison, of course. Cameron Stewart, quietly doing a cover.
Yeah.
Just selling like gangbusters.
It's quietly, not quietly, by the way.
It's quietly.
Like, you know, like quite frankly.
Quite.
It's Frank quietly.
I understand.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, that hits the stands today. And also from the DC house, we have Green Lantern number 50 hitting the stands today. I wanted to mention that for a couple reasons. One, it was Geoff Johns' birthday on Monday.
Oh, I did not know that.
Guy. I think he's like 12 or 19 or something.
I think
like
he's just hitting puberty.
And also Green Lantern last month, Chris, I checked the stats.
Yeah.
The Diamond stat page, I guess. Mm-hmm. And that was the number two selling comic next to the miniseries Blackest Night.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised because obviously if Blackest Night is going gangbusters, right?
Yep.
And so people are going to be interested in the character, so they're going to go to Green Lantern.
Right, because it's the main...
And, you know, we've got Ryan Reynolds appearing in the new Green Lantern movie whenever that's going to come out.
Yep.
So there's lots of hype around the Green Lantern character, as there should be. Really, this is a character that's been around for decades and decades.
Yeah, since the 40s. 41, probably?
Yeah, 41. Granted, you know, the character has evolved over time. Yes. We've got the, you know, that was the Golden Age Green Lantern back then. And then in the 60s, we have the Silver Age one, Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
And but now, you know, it really, the character has evolved, and it's really like one of those, you know, characters that really... has had stops and starts for many years.
Yes.
Denny O'Neill and Neil Adams did a great run with the Hard Traveling Heroes.
Yep.
They tackled a lot of social issues
right,
like racism and drugs.
You're right.
You know, and these are really comics that people, if they're interested in the character at all, they really
you're
should
right
check
that
out.
Run they also did like religious things, women's rights.
They basically took on every possible social issue at that time.
You're right.
And exploited it and talked about it, especially racism. You know, I remember there's a great line an African-American talking to these guys, and he said, you know what, I've heard about you heroes, I've heard about what you've done, and I've heard about what you've done for the blue people and what you've done for the green people, but what have you done for the black people?
Oh.
And, you know, and it was just one of those poignant times where mm-hmm. you're like, wow, you know, that's true. Like, these two guys are out there, you know, busting their butts for all these aliens.
They're not helping out at home.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, okay, go check enough. Out, if you like Green Lantern, go check out some of the graphic novels.
Yeah. What I really like is, Abby, just tells you, I guess the power of comics is you have a 70 year old character now.
Yeah.
Probably B-list for all those years.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when you're talking DC to the layman out there, he's talking Superman. You're talking Batman, perhaps Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's right. Those are top three for sure.
And maybe Flash will be mentioned in there. Whatever.
Yeah.
But
Flash.
You know, a Green Lantern. And all of a sudden,
never mentioned.
Yeah, all of a sudden, it's top 10 every month.
Well,
not top two every month on the sales charts. Great stuff.
And really, you have to thank Geoff Johns for that.
Yes.
Really, like that's he's really. I don't want to say revitalized the character, but he's brought it to a new height.
Yes,
right? Because
I think you're right.
You know, it's not that the character ever disappeared or anything, but he's really taken it to another level.
Kicked it up a notch.
That's right. Bam!
Bam!
All right.
Hey, we're going to jump now, Chris, into industry news.
Okay.
And there's lots of news to talk about this week. So I'm going to start with our favorite guy, Garib Sheamus.
Yes, from Wizard.
Yes. He apparently has bought a few more shows.
Oh, goodness.
He's
okay.
picked up the New Jersey Comic Con.
Oh, yeah?
And the Atlanta Comic Con.
Really?
And now he has New Jersey, Atlanta, Austin, New England, Big Apple, Chicago, Philly, Anaheim, Toronto.
Holy cow.
He's got like 1,700 cons.
Wow. He's really taking it to another level, speaking of taking things to level.
My question is, what's he doing?
Well, you know, the only problem with this is if he's trying to mass market them and make them all as one, a lot of the appeal, I don't know if that's going to work, because a lot of the appeal of going to these shows is they seem to have their own sort of character to them, right?
Right.
You go to a Detroit show, you're going to the Detroit show, right?
Right.
You know, when you go to the Detroit show, you're going to see not necessarily a whole lot of comic book dealers there, but you're going to see a lot of washed up porn stars.
Right.
And actors and actresses and wrestlers and toy dealers and video guys and DVD guys,
I
right?
Understand.
You know, so I'm wondering if there's going to be some sort of, corporate merchandising or corporate sort of branding to all these things.
Yeah, I think obviously he's trying to do that. But you're right. I mean, the San Diego Comic-Con is the San Diego Comic-Con.
Right,
it has its own flavor.
Absolutely.
It has its own appeal.
Yeah.
You know, that New York Comic-Con was the New York Comic-Con.
That's right.
It's a good point. I don't know. I mean, I cannot see – I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I cannot see each one of these becoming a moneymaker unless he's packaging some sort of, you know what, this is kind of new ground though. He's maybe trying to corporatize shows and give every region of the country the same show.
Same thing.
You know,
true,
it's like the McDonald's type thing. Yep, you know what you're getting when you go to a Wizard World show. True. He's going to have a stable of guests and a stable of dealers, and who knows?
If he can do that, I think that's actually a very bold and a very great idea.
Yeah.
However, I think the logistics of having the same dealers at the same shows is unattainable.
Right.
As you know, you and I both know a lot of the same dealers. I don't know if Harley is going to go to all these shows.
Right.
I mean, he probably would, but I don't know if Motor City Comics would go.
Right.
Or Metropolis or whatever.
I think you hit a good thing on the head, though, too, Chris, is the boys at Wizard are assuming that North America is homogeneous in terms of degree. And what you're saying is, you know, there's nuances, and there's regionality, which shows evolve differently because they're in different regions and have regionality to
absolutely,
it, right?
Absolutely,
he's fighting that. So, you know what? We will see. Hopefully, we don't hear news of a retraction there, and we'll keep you up to date on how the Wizard thing is going.
Sounds good.
Chris, what do we got? Oh, listen, you and I talked about this before a couple times. The Walking Dead apparently is moving to the AMC TV network.
What? Did you tell me this before?
No. Oh. Remember we talked about Walking Dead, how it would be a good TV,
but
it wouldn't
be
a movie. It should be like a weekly serial like on HBO or something
absolutely,
like that. AMC, which used to be called, I think, the American Movie Classics. But they want to change their programming not to movies, so they're just calling it AMC.
Right.
They're picking up, I guess, the rights to Robert Kirkman's
Walking Dead. Really?
And I think they're going to make it a weekly TV show.
Well, you know, it would make a great weekly TV show. As long as Robert Kirkman is involved heavily in it, because this is the kind of show that it really depends on how it ends every week. You have to have the cliffhanger. You have to make sure it's going to be gory enough that it's going to be attracting to a wide audience, but not too gory.
Right. That's on cable, so it's a good start that it's on cable.
Right, absolutely.
Right, so it can be gory.
Right? I mean, because it is zombies after all. Nobody wants to watch a zombie TV series without zombies, right?
No.
That'd be lame.
Yeah, and you don't want like Michael Jackson zombies, thriller.
No,
zombies.
No,
you want nasty ass zombies.
I want to see like innards being
guts.
Eaten, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's pretty. Pretty. So that's great news because there's like legion of Walking Dead fans.
Oh, huge!
Walking Dead is like graphic novel speaking wise, probably the best selling line of graphic novels.
And the thing is, every time I think that the zombie franchise. If you want to call it a franchise, if the zombie idea is gone or it's been overly done, somebody or something else comes along with something to do with zombies and it sort of sparks it again. It kind of rejuvenates it a bit. I know you see a lot of movies out in the theater, Walt.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So did you get a chance to see Zombieland?
No.
Oh, it's surprising.
I missed that one.
For all the movies you see, yeah. Well, it did very well in the theater with Woody Harrelson, and they're actually making a sequel to it.
Wow, I did not know that.
Just because
of zombies.
Well, for the most part. It was a little bit of a different take, but, it was still very well done.
Okay. Good. All right, so, Chris, speaking of comic franchises going into, TV and movie franchises, is Powers.
Powers. Oh, the Brian Michael Bendis.
Yeah, the Brian Michael Bendis stuff. John Lane Graff from FX Cable Network has confirmed that the Brian Michael Bendis Power comic book series is in the works for cable TV.
Oh, very good. Well, that was sort of that cool little series that had sort of like everyday people who were it was like a crime series where there's detectives who were always investigating crime things that were involved with superpowered people, right. And so there was sort of like the the crime noir, but they weren't really, they were always investigating the superheroes, not too sure what's going on, and that kind of thing.
Yes.
And,
Yes.
It was very well received. It was written in a way that nobody had really talked about before, the way the word balloons were sort of positioned. So yep. It was very, very
innovative.
Innovative,
you're right.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're right.
And Michael Avon Oeming was the artist. And
you're right.
And
you're right.
Of course, he's gone on to do a lot of great things as well.
And he had a certain style to him.
Yes.
Would you call it cartoony?
A little cartoony. A little bit of a cartoony. He kind of had like a, for those of you who are, remember the Batman animated series, kind of had a Bruce Timm-ish Batman animated series kind of feel to it. In fact, it was a little bit cartoony. It wasn't. It certainly had its own style. It's not for everybody. I will give it that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people didn't like it because it was a little. It wasn't cartoony enough, or it wasn't too realistic enough. It was sort of in between.
Right.
Personally am not a huge fan of it, but yeah. I can certainly see how people would like it.
Yeah. Now I could be off base here. When I saw it, it kind of reminded me a bit of like Darwin Cookish.
A little bit, yeah.
The type of stuff, the characterization,
yeah.
of the guy with the big chin.
Yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So I liked it too, and I've read a few Powers, and you're right. The stories are pretty powerful.
Stories are very good.
They're
stories
like
are very very
stories.
Good. Yeah, because really they're just crime noir stories, but written as if they're sort of taking place in a world where there's lots of superpowered people.
Yeah,
and so the fact that it's called Powers, it was always about characters that had powers, right? So
right.
It was sort of interesting in that case.
All right. Okay, let's move on from there. Hey, Chris, this is big news. Conan, they've picked a Conan.
Oh, now, did we not talk about this
we
before?
We talked about that, they're starting the filming of Conan
last week. Right.
And we weren't sure who they're going to pick.
Right.
And now the Conan has been picked. Now, Chris, I don't watch a lot of TV, so I don't know this guy.
Okay.
But you might know this guy. This guy's name, let me read it on my thing here.
It's called a piece of paper. But anyways, yeah.
My piece of paper?
Yeah.
Okay. You talk while I find it.
Okay, well, while Walt is trying to read his piece of paper here, I'd like to remind the audience that if they do have any comments about our show, they can email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bigbcomics.com. And we do appreciate your comments. Actually, we've had a few comments in the past.
Yes, we have.
People are saying that they're enjoying the show. And it's hard to believe that we actually have people from all over the place listening to this show. I didn't think that it had quite the wide audience that it
is. Come on, of course it
does. Well, you know, seriously, like, you know, we're looking
quality at programming we're looking finds at an audience.
That's true. Okay. So how do people find us? But seriously, you know, we are located in the Southern Ontario area, but we're getting emails from all over the country, which is really nice. People are going to the podcast and to CFMU, their own website, and checking things out. So we do appreciate that.
Excellent. Hey, Chris, thanks for that segue.
Was that long enough?
Rescue, yes.
Yeah, okay.
The young man's name is Jason Momoa. And he stars in Stargate Atlantis.
Oh, okay. I don't watch
that. Now, he is, he's guy's big. He's like 6'4".
Okay.
Okay. But he's, he's half Hawaiian.
Okay.
And he's half like Iowan, they say.
Oh, okay, right.
So he's got like a kind of a dark, luscious complexion, and he's got like a little bit of dreadlocks and
stuff
like that. And he is the next Conan.
Cool.
And I don't know. Like, the pictures I've seen of him, you know, we talked about this before. The pictures I've seen of him, he's a muscular guy.
Right.
But he's like a thin muscular guy.
Oh, more wiry.
Right.
Now, but isn't that the way, really, that Conan was meant to be portrayed as in the books? Now, you've read the books, or the book,
yeah.
and the short stories.
Yes.
And I know that he was supposed to be a big guy, but I didn't think it was supposed to be like an Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, I think he is good. Like, the thing is, Conan, you know, was created by Robert E. Howard, and in the pulps of the 30s,
right.
You had a few illustrations,
right.
And they were just your basically Tarzan-looking illustrations,
right?
But it was before Schwarzenegger that the die was cast for Conan, I think, with Frank Frazetta,
right? Okay, fair enough.
And Frank Frazetta's Conan, Arnold fit the bill of Frank Frazetta's Conan, if you agree. I mean, you saw,
absolutely, for sure.
And so... I don't know. I mean, we talked about this before. Not that, Conan fans. And I'm talking about, I'm one of the guys that they're going to have to sell because I'm a Conan fan.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I'm going to say
mm-hmm.
is how many people that are of our age group are going to be that concerned about who the new Conan is will be going to see the new movie.
Yeah, you might. They might be aiming at the younger audience.
So they might be looking at a younger audience as somebody different, kind of getting away from the whole Arnold thing.
Right. Well, you're right, because this guy is like, he's half Hawaiian. And he's got a totally different look.
And being half Hawaiian, if he's going to have a little bit of a darker complexion, that may appeal to a wider audience than the Austrian Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, the thing, though, as a purist, though, Conan, you know, it's a Sumerian, which is a Hyperborean, which is a northern man, right? He's from the north.
Okay,
right?
fair enough.
So, I don't know. I mean, you know what? I think we'll save it. I think if this guy develops a bit of an Austrian accent,
that could certainly do it.
I am Conan. I'm the new Conan.
Now, just before we get off on the Conan thing here, I got to ask you. I know you're a Conan fan.
Yeah, you know what? I think Don Ho is doing the soundtrack to this.
Tiny bubbles in my wine.
Don Ho was like a Hawaiian singer. But yeah. Anyway.
Anyways, sorry. You being the Conan fanatic that you are, mm-hmm. I got to ask you. There was only one actual novel of Conan, and the rest were short stories, right?
Yes.
And were these were collected later on in novels afterwards and that kind of thing. So if somebody wanted to read about Conan and read the original stuff, they could go to Robert E. Howard and try to find the novel.
Yeah, I think the last publisher that published the complete works of Robert E. Howard, all of them, was Ballantine Press.
Okay.
Ballantine Books.
Yeah.
Had a nice three-volume Conan. If you went to Amazon.com or something like that, you'll find them. There's three volumes. And what they did, it was great, volume 1, 2, and 3. What they did is they published all the Conan stories in the exact sequence that they were published in Weird Tales.
Oh, okay, cool.
And not necessarily in chronological sequence of Conan's exploits, because Howard didn't publish him that way either. He jumped around back and forth. Yeah. So, yeah, great collection. Highly recommended to all the Conan fans, and a great primer before the movie.
Because
nothing makes you want to see a movie like a familiarity character.
Absolutely. Right?
And before the comics, if you're not going to read the books, I highly recommend the reprinting of the Savage Sword of Conan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
As opposed to the comic book.
You got to check out some of the Savage Sword of Conan magazines, the reprints, because really, phenomenal artwork by John Buscema.
Yes.
And luckily, you'll get some of the covers by Frank Frazetta.
Yeah.
Artwork is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Finest.
Yeah. Joe Jusko did a lot of the artwork later on.
That's right.
And stuff like that.
In the early 80s, for sure.
Great stuff. Yeah. All right. We're going to get off Conan. And we're going to go to Chris. You and I like every now and then to check the health of the graphic novel industry by going to the New York Times list.
Yeah, we haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, and having a look at that list and judging whether it's good or it's bad in terms of what is the number one and what is the number 10. You know, what's in the top 10?
What's going on? Yeah.
Because it's a new thing. And as we've said before, books, you're not going to see Gone with the Wind or War and Peace in the top 10.
No.
You know?
No, because
you're going to see new.
You're going to see Robert Ludlum.
Yeah,
or
you're going to see
James Patterson.
The latest by whoever, right?
And whereas with graphic novels, traditionally we see the same old, same old.
Yeah.
But that's been changing over the past year and a half, 2 years, which we really like.
So let's have a look now and see what's going on.
Okay.
We'll start with hardcovers.
Okay.
This was this week's New York Times bestselling list for graphic novels hardcovers. And The Book of Genesis, illustrated by Robert Crumb, is number one.
Really?
And that is new.
Yeah.
But it's been number one for a while, like the last few weeks.
I'm surprised that it's still number one.
Yeah. And that's good. And I'm happy to see that because obviously, it's a take on the Bible,
but it's
a newly published thing.
But the interesting thing about that is obviously, it's a story that's been around for, forever. But I think the fact that it's, the person that's doing it is Robert Crumb, and he was an underground artist.
Yes.
And so he was somebody that sort of went against all of the conventions of society, like religion, right? So, here's something that he's now returning to religion to create a new masterpiece of his own.
Yeah. Now, Robert Crumb's art isn't like, it's not for everybody. It's hard. You have to kind of get used to it. Now, if you guys don't know Robert Crumb's art, if you remember those kind of posters or stickers from the early 70s, the Keep On Truckin', where the guy's walking and the Bigfoot's in front of him and stuff like that. That's kind of Robert Crumb style.
Or if you've seen Fritz the Cat, the movie, that's a Robert Crumb style as well.
Batman Battle for the Cowl, a hardcover, is number two, which is good. Again, it's more of a modern book. A Wizard of Oz, the hardcover, Marvel, adaptation of the story.
By Scotty Young.
Excellent. And that is good. Then you have Wolverine Old Man Logan, which is a relatively new story within the last year. You got The Stand, Captain Trips, which is great.
Oh, okay, well, that's the Stephen King adaptation. Sorry.
Within the last year. Green Lantern, Agent Orange, which is a tie-in to Geoff Johns' book, and we were discussing Black and all that stuff. Pride and Prejudice.
That's the one that's being done by, what's his name? I can't remember.
Nancy Butler, Hugo Petrus are the names of the people, which is great. Adaptation of classic literature.
Yep.
You have The Stand, American Nightmares, again.
Okay.
And number nine is the first time that we really see an old classic, and that's The Killing Joke.
Well, that's pretty good, you know, because in the past, all the old classics used to be on the very top. It used to be number one, number two. Yeah. It was always Killing Joke was number one or number two. Watchmen was number one or number two. Dark Knight Returns was somewhere in there. And now it's good that we're seeing sort of the newer ones taking over everything. What's number 10? Just very quick.
Number 10, Batman, Whatever Happened to the Caped Crusader, Neil Gaiman, which is relatively new.
So 1 out of 10 for new stuff. That's pretty good. For old stuff. That's pretty good. Okay, what do we have for soft covers?
Soft covers, Chris, we're going to quickly skim through. I don't like it as much because Watchmen is on top.
Well, yeah.
You know, and I don't like that at all. The Zombie Survival Guide is great.
Yep, that's good.
Mouse is number 3. I don't like that at all.
Well, yeah.
Walking Dead Volume 1, number 4. I don't like that at all, too. I'd rather see number 11 up there.
Yep.
Chew Volume 1 from Image is great. It's kind of a new series. Yep. Like to see that. Complete Persepolis, which is kind of Iranian.
Fairly revolution. New.
But it's good that it's fiction. It's small press.
Yes, yeah.
And I like
that's
to
good.
See that.
That's good that it's up there, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, Walking Dead Volume 11.
That's good, number 7, yep.
And The Unwritten, which is a brand new.
That's great.
Which is great.
The fact that it's even made in the top 10 is fantastic.
Yes. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Season 8, Volume 5, which is one of the recent ones, which is okay.
Yep.
And again, V for Vendetta at number 10, you don't like seeing.
Well, but, it happens, right? It happens.
But I rushed through that, Chris, because I really wanted to get time today to let the people know that you are... heading away for the next month.
Yes, I will not be co-hosting the show with you, unfortunately.
Yes. Yes! I mean, Chris, I'm going to miss you.
Oh, thanks. Thank
you. Where are you off? You're off to...
Well, I'm actually off to Whistler. I'm going to be going to the Olympics for a month.
What are you competing in?
All you can eat, eating hot dogs.
Yeah. Yes!
That's part of a new Olympic event.
Good for you.
No, I one of my many, many talents, if you want to call it that, is I'll be working as a doping control officer. And so I do anti-doping and I'm
Sure they don't cheat.
Making sure they don't cheat. And I've been doing this for a number of years now. And now I'm off to the Olympics for a month.
Good for you.
Primarily working at the bobsled venue. So I'll be doing bobsled.
Watch those Jamaicans.
I know. Well, of anybody, right? No, I'm just joking. So I'll be looking at testing athletes in the bobsled venue. So bobsled, skeleton, and luge and that kind of thing. So.
Right. So yeah, I mean, those guys pretty well got to be mentally retarded just to
be
going down at that speed on that skeleton and everything
head first.
Oh my God.
Picture going traveling behind a car going 120 kilometers an hour on a skateboard head first.
Yeah, nice.
With like nothing but your shirt on you.
Right.
It's nice. Insane. It really is insane.
It's good.
I do look forward to going there. I'm going to miss having the time to do the show with you guys. But hopefully you're going to have some great guest co-host.
Yes, Chris. I have a few surprises lined up.
That's
hopefully
good.
You can listen on podcast while you're out in the West Coast.
I will be paying attention because, you know, I'll be a little bit bitter if they're not pulling their weight here.
All right. But, well, I'm sure it's impossible that they'd be as funny as you.
few people are. Yes. I know. I'm pretty witty. Yes. I know. I just hope that they have the same kind of comic knowledge that I do. You know, I am a professor of comic history.
Yeah, well, listen, I'll cover the slack in that department. Don't worry.
Good luck
listen,
with all that.
I wish you the best on your month away.
Thank you.
Do some good work over there. Make sure nobody is cheating.
No.
And will you be able to meet, like, will you be able to get out into the Olympic Village and say hi to Sid the Kid and Ovechkin and all those
well,
guys?
I don't know. I'll be primarily in Whistler, so I don't know. I really don't, you know, in all of February while I'm there, I think I'll have, like, 2 days off. So
right.
I don't
right.
know.
All right.
But you know what? Unfortunately, we got to, I'd love to talk about me some more, but really.
I bet you would.
We got to cut it off here. If you do have any comments or questions, please email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox at bigbycomics.com. Go out, support your local comic book retailer, and have a great day.
Have a great day, guys.